Well, that's after you went to the place again, yep. That's the beginning of chapter 2. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same to the God, the faithful man, shall be able to teach out of thy flesh. Now therefore, in dear hardness of the good soldier Jesus Christ, a man of war, entangles himself with the souls of his life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strives to master, that he be not found, except to strive lawfully. The husbandman that labors must be first partaker of the truth. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the defeated David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherein I suffer shadow as an evildoer, even unto dawn, that the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not that he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, striving them before the Lord, that they strive not above words to no profit, but that it's the burden of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But strive with him in vain battle, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And the word will leave us just thankful. I came with Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth of air, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the church of Christ. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of his Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great height there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wooden of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man, therefore, holds himself in grief, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We also meet the lot, but follow righteousness, faith, and charity, peace, with them, that following the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they be gendered Christ, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. After peace, patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them a repentance for the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
Pastor Paul realized that at the supper, when the band was put in prison, he wasn't trying to face the situation with that. Whatever it was, the rest of his faith said that the word of God was not bound. And the bounding of power and freedom could not bind the word of God. And so I believe that we have to be faithful and stick to the pleasure of the Spirit, have no word yet. And we speak on the word faithful, and I believe that we should be faithful in presenting the word of God and leaving the results of faith. The word of God is not bound. And sometimes we may suffer a little bit of affliction because we are faithful to the word of God. So the word of God will not be coming to enjoy the accomplished part of the church. Sometimes it's prevented the word. It may take a few years before we see the results, but often God gives us that encouragement later after we see that the word of God is not going to be. But they were not complaining in any area of the word of God.
He doesn't need to do it, but Paul needs to do it. He doesn't need to do it. He didn't drop in, he said, and I have to say, he did do it. He did good. If the rest of the pastor was not understood, he had God's brethren to contend with, he had children to contend with. I'm talking about children who had recent experience in the period of what he got with some parents. Even the point where they even got into the apostleship of Christ. That's what I have to say. I'm not on pastor, I'm not free. He's on the library stuff that I mentioned. First chapter, I let go of that. Very interesting and very exciting. Put my hands on the verse. Verse 6 Corinthians 4 is what I want. Verse 9. The 6 Corinthians 4 and 9 says, "Think that God has sent forth us to the apostles' wives, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. We are weak, but we are strong. We are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this same bow, we both humble and face, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we blessed, being persecuted, we suffer, being defamed, being treated. I like this part here. We are made of the filth of the world, and are the outshining of all things unto this day." Well, that doesn't sound to me like a very glamorous office, does it? You know, at any day that we'd like to claim that they're an office, I wonder, you know, if they've ever considered this side of it, or if they'd like to be an apostle, that they would ever pass through what the apostle Paul passed through. It's telling them that some of the things that they're going to come to them to death. Think of that. That doesn't sound like a glamorous office to me. But there was necessity, wasn't there, in Corinthians? It was software. He was a special vessel that was raised up as God just for that very purpose. I would tell him how great things he had suffered for my namesake, as the word of the Lord to Ananias when he went and giving the stars to John and speaking to Paul and being the instrument to open his eyes. I just want to point that out, but he suffered hell as an evildoer. He wasn't an evildoer, but he suffered as one. And it's nonetheless true today, dear, once you and I are in the work of the Lord, don't expect to be understood. The apostle writing, our Lord Jesus Christ personally writing, and you and I are not going to be understood either. If we want to walk through the work of the Lord, many times we're going to have to sin against the current. I didn't think you were talking about it. Here's another question was, will you be joined with him if you choose to walk the Lord with him? And now that you know that, okay? Someone else want to try it?
My servant and leader today is dead with Christ. And that's what he brings in the subject in verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ, as the seed of David, raised from the dead, but practically also in our lives, if we do, if we cumber ourselves with the affairs of this life, the affairs of the new life that we have in Christ include the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Paul gave himself to that gospel. And consequently, he left the life that he would have had in the flesh as a Jew, as a Pharisee. He gave that up because he counted it but done, that he might give Christ that restart by losing our life, by dying with Christ. And so Colossians said, if we die with him, if we be raised with him, seek those things which are above. So the Lord alluded to it too. If any man saves his life, he'll lose it. So Robert, he is teaching us here the interest of the Christian life is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the fact that we talked earlier about responsibility and sovereignty, we have both of them in this sin. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect. The elect that saw sovereignty, but Christ says, I endure everything that they may also attain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul lived his life as if every soul, particularly amongst the Gentiles, as if every soul that was going to be saved was dependent upon him preaching the gospel to him. He said, I become offer for them that I may see them. So that's where we begin with it. You give up your old life, you die with Christ, and the life you have now has its interest in everything. And one of the main interests is the gospel, the gospel. And so, in order to teach our gospel, which has been talking about, you know, any of that Ephesus, he spoke about the Lord Jesus raised from the dead. But it has asked some things about the strange doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. So he suffers naturally and worse because he sees Christ Jesus crucified and risen from among the dead. But it cost him this life. My parents say they was a famous singer before my time at Lisa. Her name was Jimmy Lynn, perhaps many more authors, but they say she was a very beautiful singer. And she came to know Christ as her Savior. And the story is told that someone saw her on a beach afterwards, and she had given up her career. And they said, why? And the thought was that there was a performance of time she sang that made Christ less precious to her. So she gave up that life that she would have been famous and well to do in, she gave that up to win Christ, and so the apostle associates that with the gospel. The gospel meant more to him than his life, and he laid down his life for that purpose. He qualified it for the other.
That's good. Say it any better than that. I just wanted to say to you here that they may also attain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You see, there's an end of the way to come. There's the end of the way to come. I've been thinking the last year, just making kind of like a little comparison of everlasting life and eternal life. And I think I've shifted to this too. Everlasting life is duration. Eternal is the quality. And so if you think of it in connection with eternal glory, we're going to one day enter, not merely heaven, but going to enter one day the Father's kingdom with him. Think of it now, there's a certain sense of freedom which he has not left the Father's kingdom, but he has. He came down to this earth as a man. He went back to heaven, sat down at our Father's right hand. He will come for the church, take the church with him back to that vision from which he came previously. That to me is what this means for the end of time, eternal glory. We're not only going to live forever in heaven, but we're going to enjoy a quality of life there that our minds, we can't even begin to get around. Wonderful, isn't it? And that's why we have a future that this way of not merely glory, but eternal glory. It's going to be glory that, well, he's going to put the church, for example, he wants to show the truth, right? He's going to put the church on display before a wonder universe someday. And they're going to wonder and say, look at that God. Principalities and powers and so on and so forth. I just ask that type of question. Isn't it worth it now just to suffer a little bit of distress for him before he comes? Is it not worth it? Of course it's worth it. It's going to be eternal glory for him. Now, by the way, that's 1 Timothy 6. But they may lay hold on what is really living, how that should be translated. What is really living. It's sad, and you see, in an umbilical way, sometimes Christians disexisting. We're not as disexisting here. We have a practice in eternal life that we can enjoy, a quality for Christianity that we can enjoy. But when we touch on it, the way to enjoy that life is, as it were, put to death the flesh. Right from the front straight, Matthew, the foot of that, Matthew,
yeah.
Yeah, the middle of the foot of that. Whoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, he's not only going to, enjoy everlasting life, but he's going to enjoy eternal life. He's going to enjoy that quality of life, that new man of God has been directed by the Spirit of God. There's nothing like it. Individually, and there's nothing like it either collectively, where the Lord by His Spirit can work the way that it was meant to work. We're here to bear testimony to the truth of His one body. We do that, brethren, by following the Word of God, and we do that by listening to the Spirit of God as He will unfold Himself here. That's what I'm talking about when we're talking about quality. There's nothing like it.
Terrified the fact that we're going to share the joy of the rainbow with the earth,
yeah.
But we will never share the eternal glory in the heaven. And we will need to keep that in perspective. He will display us to the glory, and we will, any little persecution is quite separate from this day, will be nothing. And that day will display us as it drives to the glory. So we will share his glory in the earth, but we will have a glory in heaven, and we will save him forever, but we will never share that glory with him. But as you say, we will decide the quality of life that we cannot just even try to even comprehend. So it's quite an instrument because we cannot share the eternal glories of Christ, those that are him and him alone.
The glory to the God and the incommunicable. But as the bride of Christ, I think in the Revelation 22, 1,000 years old bride, she comes down. And I see beautiful, and I take care of the bride, the grown bride, and I'm lost by beauty in any way. It's just, what do you say to that? It's just a perfect.
There's a question that says, rather last one, Brother Henry,
Thank you.
And he's putting more than us now, and just the same time as he did last. to him as he said, he turned his gift and I stole his gift. It's worth it, the Father's in that, and the loving way to do that, and I'm thinking of Abraham and God. And there you have an example, Lot wanted that place, and went there, and where did he find him in the end? He found him down there in the gate of the city in the place of administration. And he's a picture of a believer sitting just the way God died. That's what he's a picture of. What lessons the Word of God teaches us in these things?
We have been in the last series, we have the opportunity to be identified with a rejected church. Gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus and identified with him only. That's a privilege that's been given to us. What are we going to do with that privilege? Are we going to continue? Are we going to give it up and deny the Lord publicly? Now, I just use this as an example, not that we have been that critical, but there is known as the church group in the time where we're now living. The church group does call themselves the Legal Christian Fellowship. And when we sometimes ask our religion, what things are happening, or something we ask if our religion is there. And then it's God, it's the name of the Lord Jesus. So if you look at what kind of person are you? It's very easy to do and say, I'm a member of the Legal Christian Fellowship. There's no, we don't have any rebuke that way. And so you're actually instructed in knowing the name of the Lord Jesus, because you're taking another name, not in your heart, but the name in public. And so there is a distinction that we have this opportunity in these last days and we identified with the rejected Christ. We went to another day that the church is the whole of Israel, and that's good and better. But there are those that are willing to be identified with David only. We have that opportunity to identify with Christ only. But we can deny in public by taking another name. And I think we use the illustration, and I know the last thing my wife would ever do is that the person that was somebody down in the family down in the street by the name of Smith, and she said, well, I still want to be a wife, but I'm not sure that that name is Smith. Well, Jeff and God made her heart because I've taken another name. And so I believe it's very easy when you adopt another name, and I believe that our dear brethren in that group that we went, we went through the precious fellowship work, now we see them constructed, denying the Lord's name, but we're now the leader of Christian fellowship. And so we need to remember, I believe that what this is really, scripture is appealing to, is I'll be willing to identify with the last days of the rejected Christ. And if we are, he's going to have a special place for us, I believe. Not, I mean, if only the fear of God is there, but God, nothing in our own selves. And all things do not have to be
done. We will never be rejected as far as our salvation is concerned through that of law. And there will be just law that the Lord can mean deliver us from that awful city. It would be better to be outside, up there in the mountains, and say we need to be down in that awful city and the terrible things that were going on. And our lesson here isn't to say, I don't. When you stop and think about it, we all know that wonderful thought that our brother one being like the last night of stars in Gethsemane. And in that thought, he laid that very potential, the way it really is in the present day and in the world. And he said, as not, the world and thought that does not have a voice for these Western lands in which we find ourselves today. Think of wanting a name. Any other name than that name which is about every name, that name before which every knee is going to bow someday, and every tongue is going to confess that he is truly Lord. Why do you want to be associated with any other name but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? I say, the Lord Jesus Christ. The story is possible in a time of or weakness, that in our bow down, or whatever, our Peter denied the Lord. A feature that's been brought out here, a few of course of action that we have, isn't it? Setting something before us as a pattern, as a principle that ends up with denying faithful and people. The other one is sometimes, we deny the Lord. They get themselves to go out and preach the gospel and create some scenario and let them in sight of the Lord. We know that they did not fulfill that message. So what did the Lord do? He comes in and he raises up a special vessel in the apostle Paul for that purpose. And Peter never knew anything to do. Those deep and heavenly things that Paul did. And you see that in Second Peter chapter 2. And just as something hard to be understood, he said, even our beloved brother Paul, the wisdom was given to him, because what we have given has been given to us. He devalued what we could give us. By receiving it with compunction, and we just look at it now, those poor people right down there that we have, there's not much of them, but we're off of this group, there's more excitement there. What lies? I wonder sometimes about water, you look down in those well watered things. Why am I up here in the tent? There's more fun going on down there. I can probably go down there. There may be deeper down there. But we seem to have to feel through the children, didn't we? These are silent lessons that we need to learn.
The difference is if we keep infinity before us, or just this present life where we might get some recognition and we're very good. But we see eternity before, and I think it changes the whole picture. How is that? The motives, the willingness to suffer for this little while, being strong of it, the suffering hardship of this very good of it. It makes you willing to do that when you see that life ahead. But when you don't see that, if you don't keep that before you, then you start thinking, is it worth it? Is there something that I can get here while it's today? Rather than what the Lord wants to give us and not do today.
I think we have something in this beautiful contrast there, and every incentive to encourage us to think and think of the hand of God. There he is. I know that I've read those chapters that in this teaching and not in the Genesis, I have never seen one commendation that they were doing to try and ever do the law. But what did they say to Abraham up there on the mountain with his son and his daughter? Thou art a mighty prince. Among us, they said, Abraham walked with God, and God testified about his position in life and what he was doing. God honored Abraham in that, and look at him. I mean, he called the Father of the faithful, and he's still enjoyed studying his life together and having a look at it. So what can we say about that? His life ended in just us, so we could finish. And so would it be. For all who will not follow the Lord in his rejection, will not take their place on the solid foundation of the Word of God, and act in obedience to what the Word of God requires, they are going to be lost.
I think I mentioned that briefly when we were talking with a couple of experiences, doing that last in my history of missionary. I mentioned that a young fellow growing up in the Sunday with my the water water things that won the heart. Why did it satisfy? One night I got a call very recently, just before Christmas. And that's coming. You haven't called me in about 50 years. I had a dream that he was going to meet death. And he said to me, did you take such a justification funeral? And I said, yes. And yes. And then what?
the rest of the time in the flesh to the left of men,
but to the will of God, where the time past of our life may suffice us to have brought the will of the Gentiles when we walk in the seriousness and love. And generally, there are things in my life I like to do, but I knew I couldn't do them as a Christian. But there was still, a desire that I only put for myself. For instance, I learned recently all my life, I knew he was a Menachem Lally, right, but I thought he was from Montana, Wyoming, while I found out he was from Menachem, Colorado. Well, if I ever got to that town, I would have a great desire, because I also know there's a, tribute to him in that town. I would like to go to the museum and do that, but it would destroy me from my relationship with Christ. He then might be Josh Dempsey, the great country commercial, and my brother's great deal went to his restaurant in New York City and preached the gospel to him. But my desire would still be there if I were to go through that time. If I say no, there would be a certain form of suffering, and if it would deny the desire to go there, well, every one of you has those lusts of the flesh that, when an occasion excites that lust, you respond to it. The Lord never had that in his life. He didn't have that nature. But when you say no, you suffer as a consequence. Now, when I suffer, the suffering of some other source outside of ourselves. And so, Paul had told Timothy, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear or of cowardice. So I find myself in the setting of ungodly men, and there's an opportunity to speak to them about Christ. My first reaction is fear. I have to talk to them about something else, but I know if I bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, it's going to strain the relationship. But Paul says to Timothy, God hasn't given us a spirit of cowardice, but he says in verse 8 of the first chapter, but these are the character of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And then this expression, faith hath saved us. So why did he save you? Because you were one of God's elect. And so, if he has saved me, being one of his elect, shouldn't I be willing to lay down my life and preach to those men? Because who knows? One of them might be one of God's elect, and so Paul says he's going to preach, no matter what it costs him, for the sake of God's elect. And it's not difficult. He has saved you. Shouldn't you be willing to suffer something for someone else to have the opportunity to be saved? Now, we speak of the sovereignty of God, which is true, but the one who taught it better than anyone also said, how shall they believe if they don't have a preacher? And he puts the responsibility upon you and me to preach this gospel that we've been saved by. Well, that's going to bring suffering, but that isn't suffering in the flesh because of lust in our flesh. That's suffering in the flesh because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it says here, be not ashamed, verse 8, Do not doubt also a saying of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. And so, that's different than you have talked something about being gathered in that, but many, 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 perhaps, believers today, at least thousands, who don't know a thing about the spirit that you've come to learn. Versus fulfilling these scriptures, they would rather die than give up Jesus Christ and deny Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are fulfilling this verse that we may not have to die fulfilling this verse, but we will. You really can't speak to us so generally about Christ and their need of Him as their Savior without feeling some reproach of Christ and some suffering of their difficulties. There are those two sufferings. One is you're denying yourself a desire to speak about the pleasures of sin. And when we came up to Daniel, I saw something some kind of a scene thing of God's prayer in it. Well, I happened to know there was a doctrine up in that auditorium many years ago, and I believe one of the fighters was a brother in Christ. He was beaten, and later he died shortly after from leukemia. But seeing that attracted me, it would be tough and honest person, but it would attack me. I have to deny that. To this day, that desire hasn't been taken away. I have to deny it. And that causes a certain suffering. But this suffering is, like we had read earlier, the apostle and the apostles, we made a theosophy that in this world for the time of his dying and death, well, that came from outside for them for the gospel's sake. We should be partakers of this suffering too, having been saved. to be done all in that manner and others will be manifested in the belief and mainly in the 1,000-year reign of Christ and in the Gospels in the Lord of Prince and over so many cities because of the faithful and teaching, they will have that character that probably the eternal state I'm inclined to think that when Christ delivers up the kingdom to the Father, that God may be all and in all, we will be more of a display. In Ephesians 1, we have two expressions, the glory of this grace, which is really outside of us, it's God's sovereign working apart from us in a new creation. But then you have the riches of his grace in that brings in the forgiveness of sins, and I think in that aspect of the grace of God, that's going to be displayed. During the millennial kingdom where Christ will be glorified on this earth, and if we draw back from following the rejected Christ, there's going to be a lot there in the world, and I think I'm not inclined to think that goes into the eternal state, or I think the world is more connected with the millennial kingdom in connection with this life, which we are now living. I'm not sure of that.
Because I have these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they shall not have a to no profit, that they be forgiven of the years. Yet, our Father's congregation is a way that's been glorified 7 times. We don't have to have a long memory, and we don't have to, we don't have to embarrass anything when it comes to the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak for itself, because the statement matters in faith on God's plan. And he has laid it out succinctly and clearly in his word. And matters in faith on God's plan. I know sometimes that we enjoy the phrases and stuff like that. But ultimately, our wisdom comes from the word of God, doesn't it? It's that pure and unadulterated word that can't be gainsaid or resisted. You know, when you speak out of the best of the Lord, when the word of God comes in, then arguments in that sense of truth, because no one can say it like God can. I love that guy in that he says, God says what he means, and he means what he says. And if you can't, there's no gainsaying or resisting the word of God. It's irresistible, especially when it's directed in the power of the Spirit of God.
The truth of the Bible is a suffering for Christ and denying the suffering for him because they are believers. But the many people swear we may deny the Lord and not comfortable to people because we deny him publicly. We don't have enough to live in the underground, and we don't feel that scared much anymore. But in the meantime, when I was growing up, a lot of people don't call us to go up and live in the underground. And I'm glad that people are. And this young man in the lesson is going to come back. He was a boy again. Someone said, how did you get along up there with all those people that were your name? How did you get along with the person? Oh, he said, I didn't get along with the person. Well, it's been really denied by the Lord publicly, didn't he? But if we suffer for Christ, I believe we will suffer for Christ because they are not afraid to deny the Lord, meaning they suffer as rejected. So should we say there's a difference between suffering for Christ and denying it?
And in speaking the life that the prayer and I'm saying and speak, and that's what we're going to say, and it's necessary these words. Well, it comes to time when it is necessary to use the word, but it's no good for me to tell somebody about God that my life is not backing up what I'm saying. Both go hand in hand. And after we were told about the way, I remember one time, you know, I woke up here, I was lost my life, and then one day, you know, I'm just awakening, and the Lord opens opportunity. He said, since you don't have to go looking for opportunity, the Lord's going to open up. You come into the office, and you have a guy sitting there, you see, looks at you, and he says, well, what do you think about God's going to use him? He says, I said, well, you know, that is the way that God wants to say all about it, you know. You don't believe in him, so you can give you a good rescue. But I said, okay, if one blood transfusion, you're not going to be able to do anything. You got to let it in. He said, what's that? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's son, cleanses us from our sins. You might be able to get away without an earthly transfusion, but you're going to have the blood of Christ to have you come to life, you know, and to miss the second death. Boy, I tell you, that ended the argument right away. When you bring in scripture like that, God will shut it down very, very quickly. Unless the person is encouraged to them and to know more. But if they just go there, just simply to argue, send them away to God, they can't answer that.
In the first day,
and the right side there is how to administrate one in the way of truth. You know, that that's what I would contact, read a prayer group, and you know, accept a prayer group and talk to them, the prayer group, and that's why I make a say something where we can say, how much damage has been done? And first we can look at other contacts and make a say something, but it's not saying at all. So the idea is cutting the straight line, the way to speak. But the study, I really believe, is on an individual level rather than a collective. The collective we have, the human space is sometimes Bible study of 7 days. I'm not minimizing that, but you can have an even more than that. But I really believe that the idea of study has an individual connection to it.
With all of the attempts to get some recognition, be it in the religious world or outside of the different studies to serve ourselves, appears on the back. I don't want to pretend to have this approved.